In the season of Lent, we go on a 7-week spiritual journey of sorts, a journey that's marked by repentance and the anticipation of Easter. This time serves as a solemn reminder of the depth of our sin, not just as individuals, but as the world plagued by depravity. Within this Lenten period, our goal is to refocus on the immense depth of God's love for us, for which it should urge us to move forward in our journey and go beyond the surface of our everyday lives to the heart of what it means to be followers of Christ. But this is just not a mere remembrance of some past historical events, events like Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, the Last Supper, his crucifixion. The Lenten season beckons us to raise our eyes from our daily grind and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, and focus on the eternal and the truth and the promises that are the rock that we stand on when the things in this world are so fleeting. Lent challenges us to discover and see the areas of darkness in our own lives, and it encourages us to step boldly out into the light offered by Christ's presence among us. And as we journey down this Lenten road, we are faced with this pivotal choice. Do we linger in the shadows of complacency, or do we boldly profess the truth of God's unwavering love? This journey calls us to abandon our old ways and prepare our hearts to receive this attitude of life that only comes from the resurrection, from being renewed in the power of Easter, firmly rooted in the love that has called each one of us by name. And nowhere do we see this better than at the cross. In the vast narrative of Scripture, symbols often point us to the greatest truths of our faith. One such moment, which is hidden in the many pages of the Old Testament, is a powerful prediction of the ultimate act of God's love. Jesus himself draws this parallel when he refers to the account of the bronze serpent being lifted up by Moses in the wilderness in the first two verses of our gospel reading for today. John writes, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." By this act, which brought physical healing to the Israelites, Jesus points us to a far greater healing, a spiritual salvation, through Christ's crucifixion. If you can imagine that scene in the wilderness, snakes everywhere, the rebellious, sinful people of Israel being bitten by those snakes only had to look up to the bronze serpent and find that their wounds were healed. Now let's fast forward to the cross, where all humanity bitten by sin can look up to the crucified Christ and find not just healing, but eternal life. This is no mere coincidence in Scripture. It is God's way of revealing his redemptive plan to us. The lifting up of Jesus on the cross is for our healing and our salvation. It's an act that goes beyond this simple historical event. It is the intersection of heaven and earth where God's love and his justice meet. Here we see the magnitude of our sin and the depth of God's love for us, a love so profound that it would arrange such a sacrifice. But what does this mean to us? How do we respond to this staggering act of love? Well, I think first that we need to just take a moment, try and to take it all in and allow the whole weight of this truth to settle in our heart. The cross wasn't just a moment of time. It was the moment that all time itself had been moving toward. In the lifting up of Christ, we find the incarnation of love and of sacrifice, an invitation to a life transformed by God's grace. And in light of this sacrifice, what do we do? Well, we respond in faith and gratitude. To believe in him is not to trust only in this historical fact of the crucifixion, but in its power to save us. It is to accept that we too are part of this story, not as mere spectators, but as recipients of this undeserved and unmatched grace. Our gratitude is not shown just in our words, but in our lives that reflect the depth of our thankfulness. It is a gratitude that compels us to live differently, to love freely, and to serve diligently. And to love and live differently is to lift him up in our lives and our vocations. This isn't about physical elevation, but it's about making Christ visible through our actions, our words, our very being. To lift up Christ is to bear witness to his saving grace, to tell the story of the cross, not as some distant theology, but as a present reality. It is to live and to love in such a way that others can't help but look up and see the hope that we have in him. In our worship, in our service, in our daily interactions, we need to be mirrors that reflect the light of Christ, drawing others not to look to us, but to him. We need to be people where the story of the cross is so richly lived out in our lives that it invites questions, it sparks curiosity, and it offers hope. This should be our Lenten focus. To lift up Christ in every aspect of our lives, inside and outside the walls of our church. Let us be people who, like the Israelites in the wilderness, point to their source of healing and salvation, inviting all to look up and experience the love of Christ. As we continue on, we encounter what is probably the most well-known and complete expression of God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This passage is so familiar to us that its message might sometimes be viewed as a mere cliché. I pray that this isn't the case for you, because it speaks of a love that is boundless, inclusive, inviting everyone without exception into a never-ending relationship with the Heavenly Father. It challenges us to expand our beliefs about love. God's love is a love that is all-encompassing and not restricted by cultural or racial, economic, or moral boundaries. This divine love embraces all humankind, past, present, and future. And it offers salvation and new life to all who believe. But it also calls us to mirror in our lives this love, to embrace a pattern of love and caring that seeks out the forgotten and the outcast. It invites us to consider concrete ways in which we can imitate this love in our day-to-day lives. We can do this very simply through acts of kindness to those who are overlooked in our community. And it can even be as simple as just offering a listening ear to someone who is struggling or lonely, demonstrating through our willing presence that they are valued, that they are loved. But it is not, as many in the world view, a permissive kind of love. Belief in Christ and his sacrificial atonement is required for all to be saved. God accepts all people, but not all behaviors. This is demonstrated for us as we continue in this passage of John. The last couple verses of this gospel show us a powerful symbolism between light and darkness. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Here in the Gospel of John, a profound truth about our human nature is revealed. We like our sin. We tend to shy away from the light, to cling to the shadows where our flaws and our failures remain unseen. Yet the light of Christ is not one that blinds us. It's a light that reveals, that heals, that ultimately frees us from our sin. The invitation to step out into God's word and its light and leave behind the shadows of fear, shame, and sin is not meant to expose us. It's meant to free us. In the revealing light of Christ, we find the courage to face ourselves, the sinners that we are, and acknowledge our need for Christ and his grace, and embrace a Christ-like life that comes from walking in the truth of his word. Well, how do we do that? I believe the first step is to take a really long, hard look at ourselves. We must, with all honesty, identify those areas where darkness has taken hold. The light of Christ, his word, will reveal them to us. To go about this will require courage, for it means confronting things that we would definitely prefer to leave hidden. But these hidden things must be revealed for them to be healed. And we are to live like the light of the word. Confession is a powerful tool in our journey. It breaks the power of secrecy and shame and reminds us that we are not defined by our sin. God's healing word of forgiveness comes after true confession. Confessing our sins and being forgiven of them help us to live in the truth, to see our lives and the lives of those around us through the lens of God's grace. Fellowship and accountability is another key practice that will help us. By joining others in the faith and walking together, we remind each other of our shared commitment to live in the light. And in that, we find strength and encouragement. This is not about judgment, but it is about walking the road together, supporting one another, both in our failures and in our victories. So as we continue our journey toward Good Friday and the cross, our hearts and our minds are drawn to this profound mystery, beauty, symbolism of the season, all the while keeping a firm grasp on the promise of Easter and the resurrection. And in it, we are invited to a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a relationship that transforms us from within, lifts us and others up in love. And as Christ shines a light on our path with his truth and with his grace, we leave behind the shadows that have held us captive, and we move closer to God through repentance, confession, prayer, fasting, fellowship, in acts of kindness inside and outside of these walls. May this season of Lent be a time of meaningful reflection for you, a reflection on God's grace, which always results in spiritual growth, and also a joyful anticipation of the resurrection. Amen.